Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio. Buenas noches. And welcome to Pop Culture Stars. We're like major bilingual right off the bat here, speaking British and Spanish, all like the same intro. That's why we rule the world here at Pop Culture Stars. I am your host, Dave Atwell, over here watching my lovely wife feed three dogs peanut butter. These dogs eat better than I do.
But I heard her muttering.
I'm telling you, man, these dogs, I mean, I know where I'm at on a pecking order. I think I'm down there around like seven behind the kids and the dogs and like two people she works with. Nevertheless, we hope everybody
is doing better than
well.
Me. Yeah, well, yeah, seriously, yeah. You're doing better than me, and there ain't that much in my household. What the hell?
It gets to a point where you don't even get a peck in the pecking order. You know what I mean? So, but we hope everybody's doing well tonight. I am going to ease over what was formerly known as an ice box and refrigerator, grab me one more malt beverage before I go out there into the night and the wilderness behind Atwell Manor here, where I will light up my delicious cigar from Godfather Cigars. And I'll tell you what, outside tonight, it's a little brisk here in Jacksonville, but the thing normally – I am fighting tooth and nail, having to out-shout a bunch of toads and other wilderness. The temperature's dropped probably 10 degrees out here in the last two or three days, and it's almost silent to the point where, I mean, all I have is crickets out there. I mean, just kind of eerily silent, like a church mouse can piss on a wool sweater and I'd still hear it kind of silent. And a little different when you're used to having all the carrying on in the background. But nevertheless, while I light this delicious cigar from Godfather Cigars, I am going to pass it around to our steam panel. Going to start off, as I tease, out in the middle of nowhere, not quite to Texas, a little bit past Mississippi, in Arkansas. There she is, Granny Hulkster. How are you doing this evening?
I'm good, guys. How are you all doing tonight?
Doing good, doing good. Good to have you aboard this evening.
Hanging in there.
It's about all we can do. Hope everybody on your side is doing well.
For the most part, we are. Yeah, we're okay, so... Just working on some stuff to try to help my kiddo, you know, with some things. So we're trying to get that taken care of. I don't know what's going to happen with that situation, but we're working on it the best of our ability. So,
understood.
Prayers, good karma, huh?
Yeah, man. Because I know that stuff's a challenge, and any type of help out there. Always seems to be a mile of broken glass you got to crawl through to get it. For some people, and then others just seem to have it fall in their lap, but you are definitely on my side of the ball field where it's like when you need it, you can't get it, but you pay into it all your life type thing. So
yep.
Hopefully everything
That's
will turn
right.
around for you, and we can get you smiling and laughing this evening in the next hour and a half. We're going to give it a shot. So, Granny, it's great to have you aboard this evening. Now, speaking in the middle of nowhere, number two, at least it's a little more developed in Indianapolis. As if Jacksonville is like the happening place to be. This place sucks. Yeah, I said it. Nevertheless, up there in Indianapolis, my good brother, Tim, how are you doing this evening?
Doing pretty good over here. Yeah, temperatures dropped quite a bit. Still haven't gotten my house fixed. I'm going to give a negative shout-out to Safeco, and I believe somewhere Liberty Mutual is worked in, but don't ever go with those companies. They're terrible. I'll be calling the Attorney General tomorrow, a couple other companies in mind I'm going to give a ring to because our house got struck by a tree about 2 months ago, and I still, to this day, have a hole in my roof in my office and missing porch and yada, yada, whatever. You know, I could go on and nothing. So feeling bummed out from that, but other than that, doing pretty well.
Outstanding.
Doing very well.
Good to have you aboard this evening. Now, I'll tell you, when Bertha came through and that tree fell on the house, actually there were several trees, but the one that actually fell into the house, not on the house, we had a hole in the living room where all it was a couple pieces of OSB we had thrown up there and a tarp. And things were so backed up. Now, your case is different, but things were so backed up from the hurricane damage.
How backed up were they?
They were so backed up that we, come wintertime, we had to shut the doors at night and almost shut off half of the house. So the two living rooms and the kitchen, we'd shut the door that led into the little short hallway and all the bedrooms. And the difference in temperature, thank Christ the thermostat was on the hallway side of the wall and not in the living room, because the temperature difference was every bit of 25, 30 degrees just with that door, and we would have to put a blanket at the face of the door. And, I mean, it was like Valley Forge on the other side. If you wanted to get up and get a drink of water at night or something, you better have it in there before you close that door. And we lived like that for, shit, it was 7-8 months before they finally got out there and put a new roof on the house. So I totally feel you, man. That is a frustrating, and it leaves the worst things. You know, every time it rains, you know, and if you start getting snow, snow's a pretty creepy thing, too, because when it melts, it goes all over the place. But, yeah, hopefully they'll get that fixed and fix soon, because I hate like hearing that's happening to you, brother.
Yeah, it sucks getting angry with people, but I've been doing it a lot over the phone lately.
Yeah,
but,
well, you know, start with diplomacy, then you start with assertive diplomacy, and then you get down to business on the third call. And by that time, there's no guilt. They earned it. And always be pleasant to the one that picks up the phone. The one, it's like, oh, good afternoon. How you doing? Yes, ma'am. Can I speak to so-and-so? Oh, you sure can. Hold on 1 second. Thank you, ma'am. And then when that guy picks up, you chew his ass.
Yeah.
But it's good to have you aboard this evening, brother. Good to hear your voice. Now, before I introduce my anchor man, I've got a special anniversary to tell you about, but nevertheless, I will introduce my anchor man and hope his wonderful bride, Yuki, had a equally wonderful birthday week. Todd, how you doing this evening?
Outstanding, the supernatural, and ecstatic to be here. The all is going well. Been stirring the pot and shaking the trees at work, just trying to keep things going on a daily basis. And I had a moment as I was running an errand earlier today. See some of these streets that I like to use, some of these smaller surface streets, and they're great to get from A to B because I'm right by the loop for the highway. Forget about it, but that traffic sometimes is just worse, right? Even though there was an exit right near where I wanted to be, I should have been able to just, you know, do two quick exits, boom, I'm there, and that kind of thing. Nope, I ran the surface streets, except today. And I take in mind some of these streets, you know, Dave, you know some of those ones there in Jacksonville that they're not what they were years ago. Like the just the traffic that they have now, it's not the street they had. And, you know, some of these streets are the same way, but good Lord. These streets, you had a couple trash trucks going on.
It's all
forget
over.
Forget about it. You were through. There's no middle lane, anything like that for the stuff to go around, and it's just brutal.
I imagine
brutal.
So you got up there in Indianapolis versus Jacksonville. I imagine it's got to be pain in the ass.
Yeah. Like, you know, down there, what the heck, I'm trying to remember what the heck of the name of the road is. I guess it's Onslow.
Onslow Drive in Henderson? Yeah. They were paving that thing forever. And it's funny, it's not but like a mile-long road, if that. I know it took them every bit of 2.5 years to get that thing right. And now if you drive down it, the asphalt looks pretty, but it's already starting to sink around the manhole cover. So you got to watch what you're doing when you're driving, because you'll crack a shock if you hit one of those damn covers the wrong way. So, yeah, I've never understood the mindset when it comes down to road work. Of course, if you see who our Secretary of Transportation is, I'm sure that'll answer quite a few of your questions. So, but we won't get on politics.
It's the way that one goes. It's the way that one goes. Oh, man. Y'all heard the promise. We'll see how long this one lasts. That was at 11 after, just for the record, people.
Yeah, we ain't jumped track yet. Give it time.
I got to throw something out there. Dave was talking about how cold it was there in the house in the wintertime without a roof. And no doubt it got cold. But, Tim, I just want you to think about this. The average, the coldest month in that county, the coldest average temperature is 34, just saying. We got days. We hope it gets that high up here. Tell me I ain't lying, Tim.
Yep.
It's an arthritic-ass cold we get down here, though. It's just a miserable kind of cold. It's not that, like, peaceful kind of cold you get, man. It's just a miserable, joint-ripping, somebody-kill-me kind of cold, man.
I think the worst is having to walk along Pennsylvania and you're in a wind tunnel and it's already, you know, like 10 below, but there's something about
that wind tunnel
and all that just going against your face. That's brutal, isn't it? It's like a quarter mile walk, too.
You walk through, because we've got all those damn high rises downtown. Man, if there's any breeze at
all,
forget about it.
I remember my mom, when we lived in Chicago in the 70s, my mom, there was a little convenience store right across the parking lot from the apartment complex we lived in. Now, Pop, he was in Okinawa at the time. And so, you know, Mom, if she had to go for milk or whatever, she always had to take me and my brother. At the time, I think I was like 6. My brother would be, you know, 2, 3, coming on, you know, that age. And she had
one of those. I'm guessing she dressed you guys up like the kids in the Christmas Story for wintertime.
Yeah, dude. I mean, just total Nanook of the North, you know. And Mom had this long gray coat with the whole Eskimo fur and hood and everything that she always wore all over the place. So she's holding my hand and holding my brother's hand in the other hand, and she walks to this convenience store, grabs whatever it was she needed. Then it was, you know, hold the bag in one hand and then hold my brother's hand, and then I held my brother's hand on the walk back type thing. She went, when we got back to the apartment, she reached up to go open the door, and the right-hand sleeve on her coat ripped. It just actually, like, snapped off because it was so damn cold that it actually, like, just her coat, you know, because she hadn't been moving her arm at all because she was holding my brother's hand. And, yeah, the whole damn arm just fell right off the coat. It just, that kind of cold, man. And I don't miss it. I like cold weather, but I'm not looking to turn into Jack Nicholson at the end of damn Shining either. The hell with that. Give me about a 55 to 65 degree range year round, and you won't hear a word out of me. Just when my balls start sticking to my leg because it's so hot, or I'm over here and my balls are banging up against my thighs because it's so cold and I'm shivering. Whenever the balls get involved with weather, I don't like it. So there's a little anatomy lesson for everybody. So, Todd, here's the big anniversary.
And just for you, so you all know, come New Year's Eve, he gets just extremely paranoid, catatonic, when that ball falls.
That when people start singing Deck the Balls with Boughs of Holly. No, you keep Holly away from my balls. Thanks. Appreciate that. Don't want that stuff nowhere near them. That and poison ivy. So Monday made it 7 years, believe it or not, since you were at Mac Daddy's supporting me at Crystal Coast Con, doing my first con for my book series. Hard to believe it's been 7 damn it years, huh?
How about that?
Wow.
Yeah.
How about that? I've been up here for half of them. Wait a minute. All that craziness that happened down there with the cons happened in 3.5 years?
Yeah. Damnest thing, man. When it said 7 years, I'm going, that can't be 7 years. And I got to thinking, okay, I released the books 2014. And then, you know, 2021, Carrier 1, minus, you know, God, Jesus Christ, yeah, it is 7. So, you know, I'll give everybody a moment to run to the fridge and grab their Ensure or Boost shakes and, you know, make sure nobody's messing with the shuffleboard game while you're on the show. I actually, speaking of Boost shakes, I saw a big display of them in the store. And I walked by it, and you ever just have like a random thought, and you just say it out loud, and you don't mean it, and then you realize like, oh, shit, I just said this out loud. Well, when I went by it, I hit a, you know, because it's a great big display, and it says Boost across it, you know. And I says, ah. And I just said, my Boost shakes bring the boys to the yard. Well, there was a lady standing right there that worked at said establishment, and she just busted out laughing. I turned around, looked at her, and I says, well, that wasn't supposed to come out. She said, that just made my day. She says, I'm going to sing that all day now. So no longer, when you go to Brit Haven, it's no longer the milkshakes that brings the boys to the yard. It's the Boost shakes. Damn right. Better than yours. Don't make me sing the whole song, guys.
No, we'll just let it go at this point. That's past the, Yeah, but what's funny is I know Dave's inner monologues comes out sometimes. I know Tim's well aware that Mike has, and Dave damn sure knows mine has more than one time, especially when I, yeah.
Yes,
sometimes
happens.
That inner monologue ain't so inner.
Yeah. And sometimes it requires a little sprinting after you say it, but nevertheless, you know, it's the thought that counts. So, but tonight's show, I kind of had one of these, I was kind of sort of at a loss for material, but then as the week developed, I kind of started coming around with this thought. And reason being is you guys saw the chart I had sent you earlier about the ticket sales, or the ticket prices, better yet, at Disney. How they have just just ridiculously gone through the roof. And especially over this whole COVID thing. Then, of course, you know, there's the Dale had ordered groceries. And that's become a regular habit here where we have, you know, and I'm not going to carry on about the Instacart thing. Just be careful with Instacart versus actually doing it through the company that you're wanting to buy the, because Instacart, as Forrest Gump said, it's like a box of chocolates. So you never know what you're going to get. And we had a young man do a little damage to the house last week because he doesn't know how to walk up steps and decided to grab one of my balusters there on the porch and pull himself up on my porch and pull the baluster away from the moorings. And now I have a free-floating column there on my porch that I will have to somehow or another repair. But yeah, that was pretty. That's a different show. But there are several things that have happened with the advent of COVID coming on. And what really cemented it, and Tim, I'm going to let you lead off with this, seeing you're already kind of ingrained in it. You bared your flesh and let me know that you had watched this film. But this new Matt Damon film that they've been advertising the piss out of apparently crashed and burned badly at the box office. So this morning I was reading that, and how they determined this is beyond me, but nevertheless, they said that just about all the ticket sales were coming from a demographic of 17 to 21 years old. Normally, that is one of your least sales-driven demographics.
That's easy. They were checking the high school dropout discount sales.
Well, that's a possibility, especially if they're watching a Matt Damon movie. No offense, Tim. But nevertheless, they were coming up and they were saying, is there a possibility that the cinema theater release movies will never recover from COVID because through streaming and everything else, people have learned to do other things and aren't really quick to go back. So, and one of the main demographics that they're, you know, more concerned about garnering is the demographic that we have, you know, anywhere between, you know, your 40 and 60 demographic, because, and believe it or not, this is what they say, it doesn't apply to me, but this, where were the monies at? So, if we're not going to the movies, how can these theaters hold up? And I don't know what the difference is between a 19-year-old's $10 and my $10, but nevertheless, they said they were blaming the lack of revenue for the opening week of this film being a demographic thing. Now, mind you, the new Halloween flick came out and did like $51 million, whereas the Matt Damon flick did $4 million. So, again, they blame them on demographic. But nevertheless, what we're going to get on here, and I'm going to turn it over to Tim to give us a little what he feels like, seeing he has seen the Matt Damon film. What kind of habits have you changed due to COVID, and how many are you returning to versus just sticking to the stuff you adapted to during COVID? Like, you know, going out to a restaurant or, like I said, ordering groceries or something to that effect. So with all that being said, I'm going to turn it over to you, Tim. Fill us in with your wisdom about that film.
He may not tell you all the truth, but as I drove by the place the last time, you know what? You know he's got all those goats out there. We know how those have kicked his ass before. He's got them out there wearing their little goat masks. I'm just saying. So that's at least one thing that's changed for him. Okay, all yours.
Right. Well, the first answer to your question there, and a very short answer, would be DoorDash. I don't think we've ever done so much DoorDash, which, you know, it's cool. It's convenient. That's something that's pretty much stuck. But, yeah, I got to debunk, you know, blaming it on demographics. I did see that movie, and I really enjoyed getting out. It was great to get out with Kim, my wife, and, you know, have a day at the movie. So from the whole just being entertained aspect, it was a great time. But the movie itself, it just flat out stinks. There were a couple scenes that were pretty cool, you know, a couple fight scenes. I guess I don't want to completely ruin it for anyone, which maybe I just did. But I don't think it's going to get that high ratings. I don't expect it to be a big hit at the box office. And, you know, I guess I was entertained to an extent, but I don't think it was the greatest. It definitely wasn't the best Matt Damon film, but thinking I'm probably the only one here who cares to watch Matt Damon films. But come on, now the Bourne series, those were cool, right? But anyway, that's really all I can say about the movie for now. But yeah, so my answer to the main question here, or the, you know, the main topic at hand, is I have to say DoorDash. So I'll let somebody else go, since I've kind of thrown in a couple of answers there.
Okay, I want to jump in, because this kind of ties in with something we've talked about more than once. Is it's kind of funny you were mentioning that demographic, and I'm thinking, if I'm right, I can't be too darn far off of this. If my age group is one that goes to movies, I would strongly suggest that I have been to maybe 4 movies whilst I've been in that age group. Comes out once roughly every 4 years. So, yeah, I'm thinking I've been to 3, maybe 4 movies. And the reason why I'll go up to 3 or 4 is one or two of them would have been family stuff when both kids are still a little bit smaller. Somewhat. Aaron's been a grown ass man for a while. But I've only gone to 2 movies legitimately last 10 years. That's just, I don't deal with the people, patience for it. We've talked about that. You go in there, I want to be able to watch a darn movie, have that whole big screen experience, dig in the surround sound, all that kind of stuff. Guess what? You can get pretty good variation of that at home. Pretty damn cheap. But I don't want to have to deal with 30 frickin' minutes of previews of coming attractions.
Good point. Yep, good point. 6 people in our theater,
The Amy talked about there were only like 5 freaking people in the place, and the other 3 had to come and sit right in front of where you were sitting. And, you know, the last one I went to, I went and I saw Godzilla King of Monsters. I caught a real early showing. And it was some special thing. It was, I think I grabbed the IMAX. I was able to catch that room. And it was like the first showing of the morning right after my haircut. And it was great, because Saturday morning, there was like almost nobody in there. There was only like 30 people in there. It was great.
Yeah.
And nobody had to, you know, and they weren't all in the same 10 square feet, you know, as far as where they were sitting.
Yeah,
but
it's
the people and the previews that turn me off, and that's since I've been in that demographic. I just don't have the patience for that garbage.
Because I was thinking, after you said what you said, I was rolling through my head, because if it's a Star Wars or a Marvel flick, I'm there. Just out of habit. Now, there is an asterisk to that, but give me just a moment. I was trying to think of the other films that I have seen at the theater that weren't Marvel and Star Wars, and the only two that I could think of are Halloween, the last one, because Dale wanted to see it, and, of course, she had to frog me in the leg twice to wake me up because I was falling asleep, and Ted.
You know, that's funny that at least she did that last time. Yuki just left without me. She just left
just
me in the theater
before.
Sleeping.
Yeah, it didn't take long to put me out in that Halloween movie. It was a snoozer.
I think Kim and I saw that in the theaters, too. I liked it.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't bad. It just, I don't know, it's kind of a cliched thing for me these days, and it's...
Oh, yeah, I get it. Yeah.
You know, it's the same old hat, you know. Ted, on the other hand, was kind of a snafu on my part, because here it is, it's got Marky Mark in it. It's got the guy from Family Guy, McFarlane in it. And, you know, Rob, I think Rob was like 12, 13 years old at the time. And he watched Family Guy all the time. And Dale said, well, he wants to go see it. Do you think it's doable for him? And I says, yeah, I don't see why not, because the guy behind Family Guy, he watches Family Guy all the time, and it doesn't shake him up. I mean, shit, it'll be fine. And we got in there, and I mean, in the first 5 minutes, I could feel Dale's icy stare on the side of my neck, and I was like, oh, God. So there's my 12-year-old son watching Ted with us. But still to this day, that movie holds up, though. It's a fantastic flick. I love it. But
I better not laugh. I have a 12-year-old and a 9-year-old.
Please, I invite you all to follow Dave for more parenting tips.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'd be the knucklehead to have it on the TV somehow.
I was wondering how many people were in that theater thinking, damn, he brought his kid to this flick. I really didn't think it was going to be as far out as it was, but nevertheless, still a funny-ass movie. Now, getting back to the Marvel thing, and this is kind of sort of where I don't know if it's a Dave thing or if it's a COVID thing, but Marvel and Todd Gyllenhaal, Marvel and Star Wars movies used to actually just go and mark it off on the calendar and say, I need the day off. And there was always some wise ass to go, what do you need the day off for? Well, that's the day that Iron Man comes out. And I'm going to watch it, and I'm going to like it so much, I'm going to turn around and go right back in the damn theater and watch it again. And I want to have the whole damn day to watch Iron Man half dozen times. So I'm taking the day off. So the Marvel releases, I mean, for crying out loud, the Infinity War and Endgame was like a holiday. I mean, you know, I took 2-3 days off just to go see it a couple times with Rob, you know. Same with the Star Wars flicks. But now with this break, and I don't know if it has so much to do with Endgame kind of tying things off in my mind, or if it's I'm not interested in the characters that are in the movies now. But I haven't seen Black Widow yet, and it's for free on Disney Plus. Still haven't watched it. And Shang-Chi, I haven't flinched. Haven't seen it. Don't know anything about it. I'm in no rush to go see it. And oddly enough, you couldn't walk 50 feet without hearing somebody talk about Endgame or Guardians of the Galaxy or one of the Iron Man flicks or the Captain America flicks. But nobody talks about Shang-Chi and Black Widow. Nobody's talking about it. So I don't know whether to say that movie going has been a change of habit for me because of COVID, because as Todd alluded to, I didn't go to the movies a whole hell of a lot for the same reasons to start with. So, yeah, that's a big question mark when it comes down to film. Is it and I got to tell you, this advent of streaming, as a matter of fact, I don't know if you guys saw or not, but Mel Brooks is working on History of the World Part 2. And
what?
I always thought History of the World Part 1 was one of the funniest ones he had. This is right up there with Young Frankenstein, Blazing Saddles. I thought it was Spaceballs. I thought it was hilarious. And I've been waiting 40-some-odd years for this to happen. Well, when I see it, and it's kind of funny what goes on in an old man's head, when I saw that he was working on this, one of the first thoughts that sprung to my head was, well, you know how it is watching a damn comedy in the movie theater. You miss half of it because everybody's carrying the hell on. But
yeah,
then I noticed that it's actually going to be a series on Netflix. So when I saw the series on Netflix, I said, oh, shit, that's cool. So all of a sudden, I could watch it with my earbuds in my skivvies, with a cold beer or something stronger, and watch it in full swing.
We could have really done without the imagery. Thanks, brother.
I'm going to tell you what kind of skivvies they were, right? We'll leave it as perhaps. I don't know if that's the old man in me coming out or if that's a COVID where I just got so used to not going to the movies now where I just don't feel like picking it back up. So I don't know. It's kind of a strange anomaly when it comes down to the behavior side of things. Now, Granny Hulkster, we know that you frequent the wrestling events and that kind of stuff, so that's pretty much a given. You know, they could be setting up a wrestling event in Beirut, and you would go to it. We are definitely hip to that. But for you, what kind of changes, adaptations have you made? Are you going back to the way you were doing things before? Are you kind of sticking to the new habit?
Well, you know, you talk about the – it's kind of funny you talk about the wrestling. I mean, there were a lot of shows that got canceled, a lot of events that got canceled, you know, due to COVID. I mean, we couldn't have wrestling shows for quite some time, you know. And then once they started back up, we had to wear the mask, you know. We had, you know – It's kind of hard to sit there and holler at the bad guy when you're having to wear a mask in a wrestling event, you know. But I mean,
did you wear a printed mask and did it say heel?
No, it did not
say heel.
No, it did not say heel. Thank you very much, Todd Saxon. No, it did not. But I mean, you know, and now, you know, now that the numbers are starting to, you know, if people are getting vaccinated, the numbers are starting to go down a little bit. I mean, you know, they're getting more lenient where they're not mandating the mask wearing, you know, which is a good thing. I still wear my mask sometimes when I go shopping just because some of the stores are still, they're not requiring it, but they're recommending it, you know. So, I mean, I try to be courteous
I keep one with me. I try to keep one at least back pocketed. I have a few in the vehicle for stores, you know, places that request it or say they require it, whatever. I've got no issues doing it as a courtesy to them because I want to go in there and get – they're providing me a service. Least I could do is give them a courtesy. I'm just saying.
Yeah. And that's what I do, you know. So, I mean, because, you know, my whole family and I, we're all fully vaccinated. And, you know, and I just, But, you know, it really, it's sad because I've lost friends, I've lost family members because of COVID, you know, and it just, it was just a horrible, horrible thing. I mean, you know, sporting events. I mean, we have a baseball park here in Springdale called Arvest Ballpark, and it's for the Northwest Arkansas Naturals. Now, this ballpark has been here, I think this was their 12th season. They didn't even get to have baseball last year. And I think I was able to, my son and I went to the opening ball game this year. They ended up winning the championship. I mean, I didn't get to go to very many ball games just because of my schedule and everything else. But I was glad when they got to open the ballpark back up because I love to watch the Northwest Arkansas Naturals because they're the AA affiliated club to the Kansas City Royals. And I'm a big Royals fan. So a lot of the Royals that played in the 2015 World Series were at one time Northwest Arkansas Natural baseball players.
So they just moved their way
up. Now, as far as going to movies, I don't go to a lot of movies. I mean, I've been to, but I mean, it's been a long time since I've even been to a movie. Now, my son, I tell you, you talk about
well,
the Marvel
movies.
Hold on,
hold on. Do you remember the last
okay.
movie you went to? Do you remember the last movie you went to, Granny? Just curious.
Yeah. Marley and Me.
Okay.
About the dog.
Oh, man,
that,
wait
Owen
a minute.
Wilson.
That was a good, that was actually a good movie.
Yeah, I love that movie. But now my son, I tell you, he loves, like, the Marvel movies, you know. He went to Black Widow.
I apologize. We got to get Dave moving here. We got
yeah,
someone in the queue.
Yeah, I'm on it.
Back to you, Granny.
Okay, so anyways, but yeah, he went to the Black Widow movie with his friend. He went to the Venom movie, the new Venom movie that came out, about Venom and Carnage. He went to that one with a friend of his. And, you know, so he goes to more movies than I do. But so.
Yeah, there you go. The no issues with that. That's no, that's the same kind of thing. The at least you're going out doing some of that stuff. The I'm waiting to hear that our new I think I heard that our new guest is on the line, so that actually answers that question.
Yeah.
Papa Stroll, how you doing, brother?
Great to be here with you all. I was just
Hi,
listening Stroh. To some of the Granny's movie picks. Really interesting. I got to see the new Let There Be Carnage Venom movie myself in the theater. It was highly entertained, actually, and
cool.
I was really great. Was really great to be entertained nowadays because with movies nowadays, you really have to be kind of skeptical and going in. So I was really pleasantly surprised.
Good deal.
Yeah, now, Stroh, I'll tell you what, you're an interesting case here of what we're talking about with the habits changing with the COVID and all that kind of jazz. Which habits are you sticking to that you used to do, or which ones are you sticking to or not doing post-COVID type stuff? Now, you, every night for the longest time, would post pics on Facebook and you'd be at the gym, and then after the gym, you'd go out to get some dinner. And I know I'd see you, you know, I'm here eating chow, and I'm thinking, God, man, you know, this guy never eats a pizza roll. How in the hell do I get on this? You know, it's how do I get on this to go out there and do this, you know? So with COVID coming through, obviously your dining habits had to change just because – of, you know, what was going on to begin with. Now, of course, we're further along the line from COVID, and we kind of are starting to turn the corner and become grown-ups on it. But Are you getting back into that swing of going out, you know, hitting the gym and then going out somewhere to eat dinner? Or are you getting to a point now where you kind of gotten used to eating at the house and you're just, you know, just doing in-house dining stuff?
Well, when everything was kind of going down, I had a lot of stuff delivered to me. A lot of walking with the dogs, kept my cardio up. Home gym was very instrumental in keeping fit physically until the gym opened back up, which thankfully it did. And so it slowly but surely, you know, getting back and doing the swing of things, going out and doing stuff. But just doing all you can with what you have when things were happening at the time. And even with the acting and the table reads that we do, we would do a lot of Zoom meetings for table reads and stuff online and social media that we can until, you know, we could actually come together and make the magic happen with the filming. So, you know, the podcast has been really helpful. Things you can do around the house, in the yard, and like I said, like a lot of food and stuff was delivered to me at the time. You know, I'd go to the grocery store every once in a while, every now and then, but the only time you would really go out and do anything is to get the bare necessities that you would need and come back. But now things have kind of, as you say, turned a corner, if you will. Just to get out and go to the post office is a blessing, you know what I mean?
Right.
So it's great to get back out there, and it's great back to the cons again, which I had missed very much, and the event, live events, I missed a lot as well. So slowly but surely, you know, help to we keep running about that corner and getting back out there and, you know, do we all love doing. So,
right.
That's basically
now
what it was like for me. You know, I mean, when things were happening.
Are you noticing, and you're a great, I'm glad you joined us because you're a great example of what we're trying to get at on tonight's show. Take, for instance, you were talking about your acting. Are you finding now that we are kind of getting this behind us? Are you finding that everybody's just kind of sticking to the Zoom thing for the sake of simplicity, or is everybody going back to actually getting together for table reads? And that, I mean, is it an imperative thing that you guys gather, or is everybody pretty much just saying, hey, this Zoom stuff kind of worked, let's stick with it?
Well, it's a little bit of both, actually. You know, I mean, I really enjoyed doing the Zoom thing myself. You know, doing everything from the leisure of your home or wherever
right.
you are, the joys of social media. So, I mean, but it's a little bit of both now because, you know, a lot of us still enjoy doing that. But, it's just, you know, it's just great to, you know, once we're ready to film, to get together and, you know, make it happen and everything. So I'm just hoping things will keep getting better and better where we can do more and make the world hopefully one day a better place.
Yeah, yeah. Just go ahead and get back to business, you know.
Seriously.
Now,
I want to go off of something that both Tim and Papastro touched on. They were we know we're all getting food on different means, grocery deliveries. I know they touched on that. Now, has anybody done any of the prepared meal things? Because there's multiple providers for that. Where, you know, they're saying, hey, for X amount, you can have, you know, healthy and, you know, home-style meals type things. Has anybody tried that, or are we all talking more things along the lines of DoorDash and various other delivery services?
No. until my son moves out, there's no such thing as portion. When Rob moves out, maybe I can start eating sensibly, but until then, I have to buy food by the bale. So,
right.
I do a little bit of both, actually. You know what I mean? It's nice to have prepared meals for you and everything, but I'm kind of the one where I like to have the stuff given to you, then you can pretty much make your own creation, if you will. So,
right.
Yeah, I do a little bit of both.
Okay, now, well, you're allowed to plug
it out.
How about
this one? A lot of them now do the curbside pickup, and they call it the contactless pickup. So I will say, I don't really care to do that a whole lot, but it gets you, like, so let's say McDonald's, I guess you get points. So Kim does it. I think she's got the app or something. I don't know, but she'll put in an order. We go there. Instead of going through drive-through, we go to the – you pull in the spot, and then I rent it out to you, and she gets, like, points toward free crap. So there's, you know, kind of answering your question, because now to think about it, one, like, alternate switch to that is curbside pickup. So contactless.
Yeah.
You don't have to go in or anything.
Yeah,
so,
that's pretty cool.
You order in advance.
I don't want to lose a train of thought here because I want to ask, all right, so Papa Stros, so some of the stuff that you've gotten with the pre-done meals and that, have any of them been worth the rats? Because I may ask you, you know, we may have a combo offline, like, hey, give this a go or don't give this a go. Because in some cases, it's nice to be able to have that quick be able to whip together thing when you're just whooped from a day of work. So have you found any that have been, like, better than others or you know, kind of, like, give them a rating on 1 to 10? Like, you know, you haven't found any that are 10 or you've got a couple that are 8s? And, oh, Lord, oh, Mike, be careful, some are 3s.
Well, give or take, you know, some are better than others. And a lot of them, I would say, are a lot better than have serving hamburger helper. More or less. But,
I sincerely hope so.
Yes. So, but, yeah, you know, it's like I said, you know, I do a variety of things. You know, sometimes I'll have the meals that are already prepped for you, though, and the ones that kind of, but to give you the tools to make it yourself, which, you know, I appreciate as well. So, you know, yeah. So, I mean, it's been a pretty good experience thus far, and, you know, I haven't got really bad off from eating any of the meals thus far. So, and I'm a prepper anyway, so I prep and stock a lot of things.
All right, nice. I appreciate that. That lets me know that a couple of those options might be worth pursuing. Thank you, sir. The Tim, something you know what you touch on. Man, how much have the restaurants done things so darn different? Some of them were, I will throw out, some were just fortunate in what they were doing business model-wise. They were better prepared than others. Some of them, I think, like Olive Garden was one of the ones where you could call in your order, go pull into a marked spot, you know, send a text and tell them you were here, and they would bring your stuff out, you know. So they made whatever changes were necessary, you know, send it on the hood of the vehicle, whatever, for the contact list. But a lot of them, they're coming up, and they're making some of those adjustments. Some were slower, too. How y'all's experience has been with that kind of stuff?
Well, if you go order anything from Chick-fil-A, you better pack a lunch. Because every time I try to get something from Chick-fil-A, I'm usually there a while. the line is so long.
But Papa Stroh, you know, we got two of them on the same road there on Western. They're what?
Yeah.
3/4 of a mile apart, maybe? Maybe 3/4 of a mile? And both of them are packed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Packed. And they've got a new... it's not new. They've been doing it for years now. This system with the little iPad where they've got the poor kid out there in 119-degree heat sweating his nuts off.
Yeah.
And it is still backed up. I bet you they could put up 70 damn Chick-fil-A's in Onslow County, and they'd still be just like Dunkin' Donuts. I don't care what time you go to Dunkin' Donuts; those guys are ass deep every time you go, regardless. But now,
that's
Todd,
the way it
speaking
is in my
on the drive-up stuff, I know the Texas Roadhouse actually modified their menus and offered a special every day, and it varied a lot of times. But they had like a ribeye special where you could get four ribeyes, 12 rolls, and all this kind of stuff, and it was like $34.99. And I know when I say $34.99, you're like, oh god, that's still $35. If you go to Texas Roadhouse, you're gonna drop 40 skins without having a drink. So to have four ribeyes.
If you got four ribeyes, even if they're the smallest ones, hell, they could be breakfast ribeyes, and that would be about right.
And granted, you lose a little bit of the feel because you're eating it out of a styrofoam clamshell and that kind of stuff. But, you know, for the price, you really couldn't go wrong. And alluding to we were speaking on earlier about people, it's another one of those things of turning old. When I go to a restaurant, I know a lot of places will play music for the sake of, you know, the ambiance and all that kind of jazz, and maybe covering up some accidents happening in the kitchen. But I've gotten to the point now, I can't stand going to a restaurant and they've got music blaring. And it never fails whenever I get in a restaurant. I'm either sitting next to or one is sitting behind me with a overactive child and or a screaming infant. And I've been a parent. I know these things happen. But as a 51-year-old man, I don't want my butt cheeks getting massaged from the other side from some youngin' that can't sit the hell down and eat his meal. Nor do I.
Yeah, if I want to do that, I'll just get on an airplane.
Right.
I'll just get on an airplane and do it.
So I'm willing to sacrifice having it on a hot plate and brought to me and driving out there, getting it in the styrofoam clamshell, coming home and just laying it on the counter and say, okay, here's everybody's stuff. Because at my house, I can take that same meal and I can pull up the game on my laptop, or I can sit out here on the deck with a cold beer and enjoy the sunset while I'm eating, something like that. And there are no screaming infants and there are no jumping children. You know, so, that's kind of an adaptation.
That's kind of funny that you say that. I'm going to go with this. I'm going to go with the family thing. I remember the fighting of put your freaking cells down and whatnot.
Yeah.
We're sitting here eating as a family. You know, we don't get to do it as often as we should. Let's enjoy trying to have some just banal small talk. Just,
yeah,
you know, it's what, you know, it's a real deal. And I'm really laughing about that because I kid you not, today I was at Walgreens getting my second Pfizer COVID shot, and I just handed in my paperwork, my phone rings, and somebody said, hey, we're going to do a conference call right now. I had an ad hoc meeting while I'm waiting to get my COVID shot at Walgreens. And I was not, and I'm still not a big fan of the daggum mobile devices, but boy, have they permeated our life. You can't go get your doggone COVID shot without having a meeting. And I'm not necessarily complaining, because in the sense of how cool is that? Because it wasn't a total work-related waste of time, that kind of thing. That's insane. That's insane what's happened to our lives with these mobile devices. And I know it's a damn rabbit hole, but I'm going down it, guys.
No, there's no escape.
There you go.
Damn. I totally agree. Because, before you'd be eating dinner and the phone would ring. And I remember my dad would say, "Let the goddamn thing ring." And that was it. Sometimes nothing was even said. It just rang and everybody knew to stand down. But now, there's all hours of the day and night. And let's be honest, there's a couple friends we got. Dr. John, God bless him, he's one of them. The only time he ever calls me is when I'm in the shower or on the toilet. That's the only two times I ever hear from him. And it is. There's kind of a
Spaceballs, when the lady calls in for President Screw where he's taking a leak in the bathroom.
Yeah.
Good thing we don't have to.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Now, Stro, out of curiosity, I have yet to do a con since all this stuff blown over. I'm planning on breaking the ice at X-Con in Myrtle Beach in May. That is what's up the sleeve. So you've done a couple cons, or at least ways attended several cons since things kind of got back in gear. Are they better spaced now, or are they still just cramming people in there, elbows and assholes? Is it still like it was before, or is it a little better breathable?
It's more breathable now than it was. So, yeah, they've the ones I've been to have been pretty spaced out a lot better. So, even before everything started, right? It's great to see. So you can like have elbow room to do your own thing and not being jumbled together by like a demolition derby or a dumpfire.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, some of those cons are sardine cans.
Yes. And
look, I like sardines, and I love the fact that they got that many packed in a can, but when it comes to people stuff, I don't dig it.
No, absolutely not. I'm the same way. And, we all know about the con crud. It seemed like every time I remember, and Todd, I remember you being around me enough, going to airborne, I would probably drop an airborne at least once a day, if not every other day, the week before and the week after a con, because every time it was like getting on a plane. Every time you come out of a con, man, you had the first two or three days after being at a con where you felt awful. And, I know a lot of guys that just got straight up sick and were out of commission for a couple of days after every con they went to because they were just so damned snug. And,
speaking of getting sick, I think Papa Stroh's favorite was that Lizard Man Festival.
Oh, how could I forget? Oh, my God. Hey, talking about cram. I mean, it looked like a demolition derby, that place. Dear Lord.
Yeah, and hell, as I remember, if I'm correct, your digestive tract was pretty much Krampus afterwards.
Yeah, I mean, the heat was unbearable. I mean, it was so hot. I'll never forget. And, oh, my gosh. And I got sick off of the food I had there, too. I went to the restaurant there, and they had, like, lizard burgers and all this sort of thing. And I got a rap thinking that's what was the healthiest thing in the on the menu, and it turned out that's the thing that got me sick because it was bad lettuce.
Yeah,
the oh, yeah, wrap. Yep.
And oh, oh my God. And well, the director Ron and I got so sick that we had to film the next day. And we're like, oh, we're suffering on set. I mean, we're like, oh my God.
Oh, you know what's crazy though? Well, look how many of those different places. How many lettuce recalls have we had in the last 5 years?
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, I'm...
My mom ended up in the ER. My mom's been in
really?
The emergency room because they were on vacation and they went out to eat. She got a salad. That was it. And she ended up in the ER. And the doctor said, did anybody ever tell you never to order a salad when you go out to eat? And it was lettuce. That's what it got her. I don't remember what. I mean, I think she's had a bad stomach ache, and she was good to go.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Lettuce is rough.
Yeah, brutal.
Wow.
Brutal.
Who'd have thunk? I mean, just when you thought nuclear war or plague or war would take down the human race, it turned out to be romaine or arugula. You know?
Well, yeah. I mean, after I get sick, I was beginning to think the lizard pissed in my lettuce.
Yeah.
What a strange
man,
sound that
yeah.
was. I'm going to forget it.
God.
Yeah, I missed the lizard man thing, and I'm trying to think why I missed it, because I know John was expecting me to go, and something came up, and I wasn't able to mention it, and I can't remember what it was that I couldn't go. And I can't remember whether it was you, Stroh, or Greg Bowe. Was Greg Bowe there?
Yes, it was. Oh, my God.
Okay, maybe it was him that I was speaking to and said that never again. Said we're gonna you know, one and I'm done. Yeah,
oh, gosh. The vendors were like literally on top of each other. It was crazy.
Yeah, because the cons, I mean, hell, I went to one in Durham. And, you know, the Durham Comic Con, I mean, that's twice a year that they throw that one. And very rarely do I get addled when it comes down to, it's one of those things, yeah, I guess it's just from being in retail all these years. You know, and Todd will... You remember the health department people would come in and everybody would go Section 8. Me, I'd be just like, hey, come on. You know, come look at our shit. And, but when I was at Durham, it was so damned tight in there. I remember.
How tight was it?
It was so tight. I shoved a piece of charcoal up my ass, and it was a diamond in 20 minutes. It was so tight.
Wow.
We had first off, my brother, we had to do the Grayson chain to get around where I held on to my brother's backpack, and we just walked holding on for dear life. But I remember some of the artists were having where they had to pee, and they would get up to pee, and it would take them upwards of an hour to get back to their tables because of the traffic. And, you know, and Stroh, you've been there signing and everything. 5 minutes away from your table sometimes can cost you all kinds of money. Because you can sit there at your table for a half hour and nobody stops, but the minute you get up to pee or to go get a coffee, 45 heads stand in front of your damn table and then they wander off. And it was just so tight that these guys couldn't get back to their tables. So I was curious, you know, with the cons now, how they're going to, and Granny Hulkster, you could probably throw in two with the wrestling events. Do you notice the ones that you've gone to, are they spacing out the chairs a little more, or are they still just right on top of one another?
Oh, for a while they were, you know, kind of spacing them out. You know, they were only allowing so many people, you know, in the building and everything. And now it's kind of like it's kind of going back to what it used to be like. You know, chairs are all, you know, close together, and you know, you're not separated from people, and you're not. But, I mean, I know there for a while they were, like, spacing the chairs out, so many chairs, you know, in each row, and, you know, the rows had to be at least 6 feet apart from each other and, you know, things like that. But now they're kind of getting back to the way it used to be, you know, before COVID.
Yeah, because now, Tim, I'll ask you this, and In the event you need to decline to answer, I totally understand. But, you know, Todd was down here in Jacksonville for, Todd, what was it, a year and some change? That you were back here in town?
Man, I wish it was 10 months almost to the day.
Okay.
Just short of 10 months.
Now, Tim, do you notice now that everybody's back in the office, do you notice a change in productivity, or is it the same old hat? So basically, were you getting the same amount of work out of everybody being remote, or are you finding a bump in production by having everybody there?
Well, I'm glad you asked that, because I was actually going to ask Todd. That's kind of why I started off with just a random easy answer, because Todd and I share the same, a real big one that, you know, came to mind as far as things that have changed, and definitely it's work, because we are now, at least I've fallen to the point where I telework 3 days a week. You don't have to if you don't want to. You can be in the office more, I believe, but actually, I'm not quite sure.
Oh, okay, let me qualify Tim's response a wee bit. They are doing what they can to make sure we have a 2-day presence per person at work. You are definitely allowed to show up more, just saying. We're not full-time back in the office, to be clear.
Right.
We're
kind of like a phased, if you will. There's different schedules. So I myself, I go in on Mondays and Tuesdays. There is another person who shares an office with me whose days would be Thursday and Friday, but right now, just because of scheduling and stuff, it's not really an issue right now, as long as we're not there at the same day, you know, because the whole thing started off with COVID in mind. But one thing that is, you know, I wanted to bring up is supposedly it's going to stick. It's actually supposed to remain that way in the post-COVID world, but what's funny is it's kind of gone from, you know, like I was never used to teleworking. And to be quite frank, sometimes I get more done when I am teleworking. And it goes the other direction. You know, sometimes I think I can get more done in the office because of distractions around here. So to me, it's kind of a give and take. But what I find is funny is now it's turned me into a bit of a Karen, as far as I feel privileged that, you know, to have the 3 telework days. But then on days like, I don't know, there's just different times when it's like you just get a little bit more disgruntled at the fact that you have to drive down to the office to begin with. Mondays, it's like, why in the world am I making this trip? And, you know, rightfully so, because it's what's kind of silly is, you know, I guess I won't go too deep into it. I don't want to do that. I don't want to go too far into it. But some of it's kind of pointless, because the whole idea is to get us to be in there kind of collaborating. But a lot of the folks that, you know, like Todd, for example, Todd and I aren't in the office on the same days. Sometimes we are, but and overall, no, I don't think – I think productivity is actually I think they've shown that it's increased. I don't know a number specifically or whatever for our organization, but I don't know of any major hindrances. You know, I can't think of anything that hasn't been done.
I definitely want to pile in on this.
Yep, go for it.
We've got we've got a multi-group organization that we work with a lot of outside entities within the Marine Corps, okay? And a lot of them are not co-located. And we have functioned well with them for years. So if we're doing a call, a joint call, a neat IT joint thing, you know, pseudo Zoom for those in the civilian world. You don't necessarily know if somebody's in the same building or if they're in another state. And we function with that. I think we found that, just to try to run, I'm going to try to run through it quick. It's not going to happen, but I'm going to try. We found that a lot of the events that used to happen where they would have everybody in one location, we found alternatives in that don't work for everybody everywhere, mind you. But we found a lot of ways to get around that because we were doing variations of it previously. I mean, if you're all in a conference room sharing a screen, does it make a difference if you're all at your own desk sharing the same screen? So we got that stuff going on. So people are learning, like, oh, my God, we're not paying all this stuff to billet someone for an event over the course of a week because we're still doing the same thing remotely. So we're finding ways, oh, Lord, that's a cost savings. Some of that stuff's going on. And like Tim said with the productivity, I can tell you, though, there are things that will never replace the face-to-face. That will never replace it because if you can go walk to another floor and spend 20 minutes having an ad hoc conference face-to-face, I feel like sometimes we don't get that necessarily done through the phone or the various mediums we use and email necessarily as effectively.
I agree.
But sometimes... That takes longer, but I think I think it's amazing how well we've done with the remote stuff. I'm just saying it's been mind-boggling how effective it's been.
Yep, agree.
Yeah, my son-in-law is 100% remote now. He works at the Pentagon, and they pretty much after all this went down. And I come close to getting him and my brother on the show tonight, just for their input, but both were unavailable this evening for various reasons. But both of them agree and told me something, you know, it's very interesting, is that working remote, and my brother jokes all the time that he hasn't worn slack since COVID hit, because his whole job has been, you know, remote. And with him being an IT executive, and you guys have heard me speak about him on the show where, you know, he was having to fly to Denmark for a four-hour meeting and then would fly back, and that would be his work day. And when you add in the time and the cost of the flight and passports and all that kind of monkey business, the same amount of work got done with him sitting in front of a computer in Florida than it did him getting on a plane, flying to Denmark, flying back.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And they're learning that. They're learning that because, again, I'll go right back to I went to Walgreens for my second COVID, and I had a freaking quick ad hoc meeting, and we answered stuff.
Right.
And we planned another meeting. It's insane. Yeah. All the remote stuff, we're like, it's unabashedly, yeah, let's just call.
And I know we're getting close to time, but to kind of throw out a
10 minutes
an example. Yeah. Yeah, we'll do a little extra inning. But an example that both my son-in-law and my brother had mentioned was that when you work remotely, and Todd and Tim, I'm sure you guys could chime in with this, both of them said what it kind of eliminated was, okay, you're working a 7-to-5 shift, give or take. Let's just say 7-to-5. All right, so the normal Joe drives to work. He comes in. He's got a bag of McDonald's, clocks in, gets to his desk, throws the McDonald's down, goes, takes a piss, gets a drink out of the drink machine, says hi to a couple of the guys, comes back, sits at his desk, gets comfortable, unwraps his Egg McMuffin, eats it. He gets done. He's already signed on, but he really hasn't started doing anything yet. He gets done with the Egg McMuffin. He gets up, cleans his hands off, takes another piss, comes back to the desk, and guess what? An hour's already gone by, and you haven't started the damn thing. Then,
oh, we've got some of those, but we got the same ones. Kim will tell you, we've got those of us that are chowing while we're on the damn meetings and everything else. And damn it, mute your mic.
And Dan had said, for all the people that live and die by their hour lunches, he said, I don't go out to lunch anymore. I just eat while I'm on the computer. And at the end of the day, where people, you remember the old joke about if you go to work and you see everybody backed into their parking spaces, that you know it's a tough work environment because everybody's wanting to haul ass out of there. And he said, when it comes down to leaving, where everybody used to be, you know, an hour till time off, everybody kind of started wrapping it up and then just kind of milled around and fanned their balls until the bell rang. He said, when you're working remotely, you have a habit of walking by your laptop at 7:30 in the evening and going, well, let me check, make sure there ain't nothing going on. And you check in, and you're actually working more, I guess to say, pound for pound.
Oh,
minute for
yeah.
Minute.
You're definitely working more with the telework.
Right, than what you were in the office, because you got a habit, and even the best worker has a habit of him hauling a little bit, you know, whereas when you're at the house, because I know last Christmas when I spent the week with my daughter and my son-in-law, hey, Dante didn't get off that every time I turned around. He was flipping that laptop open. He was looking at it. He might look at it for 5 minutes. He might look at it for 2 hours. But then he'd go and he'd, you know, mess with the kids, play a couple card games, and then he'd go over there, flip the laptop open, look at it, and then close it, and then come back in, join everybody else. And my brother said that we're getting more work out of him sitting in his shorts than what they were him dressed in a suit being in the office.
I had to laugh. We got one of our workmates. He keeps a... He keeps various, and I had to remind him to rotate shirts, but he keeps a couple different shirts on hangers near his workspace so that if they do a video call, he at least looks like he's dressed for work. I'm going to bet Tim can guess who it is. I have no doubt. I have no doubt he can pick up on who it is, but yeah, the guy's one of our rocks that we lean on, and it's just, yeah, he, for the video calls, he has it. And oh, damn, Tim, just for the record, the same cat today, since he had to wear a tie because the VIPs were in the building.
Why?
I went through his leadership. Oh, you didn't know this? I'll just
did not do it.
Kick you later, and I'll tell you about the VIPs. They'll be there tomorrow, too. It's hilarious that, oh, my goodness. Yeah, he just wears a shirt because otherwise He's probably in a T-shirt, or he may not even have a damn T-shirt on. He's just sitting there, and he's, you know, I'm hoping he at least wears a pair of shorts.
That's hysterical.
And when I say shorts, I mean like the outside shorts, not the Justice Skippy shorts. Oh, man, this is probably a dead giveaway. You already know who it is, don't you?
I do.
But that's the way it is. That's the way these cats are. I laugh about the whole, remember the old tuxedo T-shirts back in the day?
Yeah.
I'm surprised people don't have variations of that for the video conferences today when they're teleworking.
My brother said it's nothing for him to put on a polo shirt and a pair of house shorts.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
He said he looks like $1 million. Yeah, it's I gotta get him on here. I gotta get my son-in-law on here too, because I'm sure they can get a lot to add when it comes down to this.
Nothing else. Oh, I think your son-in-law Tim and I could have a hell of a conversation.
Oh God, yeah. I would imagine so, because you guys have a common thread. And, but it is interesting, all the things, and, you know, for all of us that, and coming up in retail, of course, and Todd, you can, and shit, for that matter, Granny Hulkster, I know you put in your time doing it and everything. You know, it's funny, I go back a lot of times over my 36-year career in retail, and I think about all the burnt daylight.
I love how he says it like he's proud of it.
Yeah. You got to be proud of it.
Just for the record, we really did learn a lot doing it.
Yeah. I mean, how many times, Todd, did they say, well, so-and-so's coming tomorrow, and then so-and-so never showed up, and you blow your payroll all to hell, you work your days off and all that kind of nifty stuff, and all it does is piss you off when they don't show up. If you think about all that mojo that went into that, and all that burnt payroll, all that burnt effort, and it was more of a boogeyman thing than it was productive. If we put that type of effort into pleasing the customers, Christ knows where we would be. And it's kind of funny how this whole COVID thing has made everybody reassess what's important. And to some companies' credits, they've actually examined and started looking at, gosh, you know, we are burning daylight doing X, Y, and Z. It really doesn't make a damn to our customers or to our production. And, you know, it's a good thing. I'm sure the waitresses, to a certain extent, probably took a lick, you know, from tips and that kind of stuff. But by and large,
not a good one.
No, yeah, not the kind of lick we all enjoy. But yeah, I mean, I just think that perhaps it's reset everybody's mind, and we'll go back and we'll end up redeveloping different habits, different courses on how we're eating, how we're, you know, like I say, going to the movies, you know, what kind of events we're attending and that kind of stuff. Now, before I pass it around, speaking of adaptation, I want to share something. I said I wasn't going to go to politics, so this is kind of like in the 50-yard line.
Here we go. Actually, we did good. That was 11 after, so it's an hour 11.
Did pretty good
tonight. Yeah,
I'm like a political.
You did all right. You did an hour 17 minutes.
I'm going through DTs. But our boy Gavin Newsom over there in California signed into law, among other things, this week. And I won't go into depth of the things that he signed, because that's a whole different show. But one of the things that he signed into law is that restaurants can no longer supply the disposable utensils with meals. No shit. So when you order from like a Chinese restaurant, you know how they put the chopsticks in there? Or
yeah.
If you go like to a country restaurant and they put the little packet of salt, pepper, napkin, and cutlery type thing in that little package, they can no longer issue that in California. So my question is for all these folks in California, for Governor Newsom himself, which I ain't really give a shit because I'm on the other side of the United States, but how are you supposed to eat? How in the hell am I supposed to walk around with forks and knives in my pocket? How in the hell am I going to eat if they don't give me cutlery? So, nevertheless,
That's because they won't enforce the littering laws. They feel like that became so mundane, but their whole complaint is about the litter.
Yeah, but they'll let people live in the street.
I don't fucking understand it. Sorry.
Yeah.
Your monologue came out. Sorry.
No, that's well done. All it did was just back up how I was feeling. So, no, I can always depend on you, Todd, to validate exactly what's going through my mind. So, much obliged. But anyhow, that's a different show.
Oh, great. So I got that going for me.
Hey, enter at your own risk. You know that. So, we'll go ahead and pass it around the room. And Stro, I will open it up with you, brother, as always, because you're the guy that's got the busiest schedule. What kind of stuff you got going on?
Well, tomorrow night, WCW Retro, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on ViewsNation.com. We'll be discussing what-if scenarios in wrestling history. So if anybody's got a favorite what-if scenario they would like to share, call in, please do. And Friday night on my horror sci-fi show, The Stro Zone, on my Facebook, Midnight Eastern Standard Time, at facebook.com/StroTheMaestro. Friday night's feature will be The Wolfman. So please tune in.
Classic. Cool. You've drawn some classics lately, brother.
Yeah, man.
Tis the season, right?
Now, have you been watching Dark Side of the Ring?
I don't really. That show, there's so much. Oh my God, it's put on by these, the negativity on that show is unbearable.
Yeah.
I'm not one to like razz on anybody, and it's really, if you think about it, it's kind of political in a way, because they kind of downplay what they want to downplay and praise what they want to praise.
Yep. All right. Well, as I was thinking about Todd validating my thoughts, I appreciate your input, because that's exactly, the guys who produce that show are in bed with the guy who owns AEW. So they make things shine, and then they make things shadowy by choice. And, I mean, we all heard this. That's what kills me about everybody wanting to cancel Flair all of a sudden. This whole plane ride from hell is one of the oldest wrestling stories out there. I mean, when you talk wrestling lore, that thing's been around forever. And just now, everybody's getting up in their feels about it. If anything needed to be done, it needed to be done 20-some-odd years ago. But these guys,
did it turn out the lady that was accused of
25?
The lady that was accused of, she was accused of being a jewel thief?
Really?
I think they found out some dirt on the stewardess that was accused of Flair doing all this and that. And turned out she had like a rap sheet on her. History on her.
I'll be damned. No kidding.
What a mess.
Yeah, because there were certain people that were participants during that plane ride from hell that did certain acts that weren't even mentioned on that documentary.
Yes.
But on the flip side, there were others that seemed to be over-exaggerated. And it's pretty interesting stuff when you you know, as we preach here on Pop Culture Stars, self-educate, dig deeper, make your own opinion out. Don't let somebody form your opinion for you. And after watching that,
yeah,
I finally said, you know what? I'm going to do a little snooping. And started digging a little deeper, doing a little more reading, and I was like, yeah, these guys are a little much. And despite them being interesting, I mean, they're fun to watch, don't get me wrong. But on the flip side, you can see the angle that they're taking, and it's not a black and white documentary. It's definitely skewed to a certain side. So, yeah, I appreciate your input on that, because I was definitely thinking the same. But,
oh,
yeah.
If you're going to do something like that, you got to do it all at all angles to make it work.
Right.
Not
right.
The, well,
yes.
You know what? We could do, God, that could be another show, just saying.
Yeah, no kidding. That would be a very easy show to put on. Between Velvet, Stroh, and Granny Hulkster, Christ knows what we can come up with. So perhaps, if Stroh is available.
I would be asking both Velvet and Papa Stroh to call Tank him.
Yeah. Yeah, bring
them
all
in. There's a ton of other folks. Ton of other folks. Because, look just for the record, we've all been on shows, I won't necessarily say all, but because I don't think Tim's jumps in on the show. But we've been on shows where some great friends have done all the character stuff. And if you don't know, plain up, you don't know. You just think it's all nasty. And if it's all perspective, you don't know. You weren't part of the after call afterwards where they are giggling like schoolgirls. Just saying.
No, you're absolutely right. And where everybody's eating together and drinking out of the same can, you know. Yeah, that'd be an interesting show to throw out there. And, of course, Stroh, Granny, I'm not asking you guys to bash anybody, but much like when we had Susan Green on the show a while back, and she was telling her story, and you watch the Moolah episode of Dark Side of the Ring, and it didn't really paint a positive picture of Moolah, but it didn't do a lot of deep digging. It kind of, I don't know, it kind of glossed it over, so to speak, for me. So, yeah, it'd be interesting to kind of do a little deeper dig if you guys would be willing to get on there and, you know, and kind of give a little more behind-the-scenes stuff for us. So perhaps we could do that next week if everybody's available.
Just a thought we're throwing out there. Food for thought.
No, yeah, absolutely.
Just in time for Halloween. Yay.
Ooh, I like it. We may have to come up with something else for Halloween. It may have to wait another week, but yeah, digging it.
Yeah, we got to do the Halloween show next week because that'll be I'll look at the calendar. Nevertheless, it's a decent idea. I think
you know what? Just for the record, I got to throw out my annual Halloween joke. Why can't witches get pregnant? Because warlocks have Halloweenies.
Oh, dang. Nice. So, Granny, what kind of parting shots do we have for you, young lady? Hit us up.
Well, I just hope that everybody has a great rest of the week and stay safe and, you know, just love each other and be kind to each other. And, you know, I just like to throw a little something out there. You know I posted something on Facebook about my 16-year-old Basset Hound. I mean, she,
yeah,
I don't know how much longer we're going to have her, bless her heart. I mean, we've had her, we got her from a friend of ours, one of my DJ friends that worked at one of the local radio stations, we were taking care of her for him, and he went through kind of a nasty divorce, you know, and everything, and your separation time, and we were taking care of Maggie for him, and they got back together, and at that time, our rat terrier Roscoe had disappeared for like 3 months, and so they had moved, and he ended up giving Maggie to us to keep, you know, and everything, and we've had her since she was like 3 or 4 years old, and last night, I really thought we were going to lose her last night, the way she was acting. I mean, but so far, she's still okay. I mean, our other dog, Rex, he's like 1.5 years, and I really think if we didn't have Rex, when we got Rex when we did, I really think we wouldn't have Maggie right now because he has really helped keep her going.
I remember,
you know,
the early
he has really helped keep her going.
Yeah,
and,
I hear you.
You know, but I mean, we lost Roscoe. Roscoe and Maggie were together 7 years, and we lost Roscoe in 2016, and we had to put him down. You know, his liver functions were really highly elevated, and his little body was just trying to shut down, and I didn't want to see him suffer, and neither did my husband, so we made the painful decision to, you know, let him go, and it's really going to be hard when it comes time for my sweet Maggie, but, you know, so far we still have her, and, you know, she's okay still right now, so that's a blessing, but I love my fur babies, so, you know, I love my dogs, so.
I hear you. Yeah, as hard as it is to say, I'm going to say just remember her quality of life because with the pets, it's so easy to get selfish. It's so easy to get selfish. And
a basset hound's lifespan is like 11 or 12 years old, so she's really outlived a lifespan of a basset hound, you know, and I know, Stro, you've got dogs and everything, and so I know you love your dogs just as much as I love mine. I don't remember how many dogs you have, but, you know, so.
Quite a bit.
I was going to say, you got a zoo at the house before you call.
Oh, yeah.
You're worse than I am when it comes down to having the hounds.
No, oh, yeah, they walk me around.
Yeah, dogs are fantastic. There's something different about a dog. No doubt.
Look, I'm going to say pets. And you know what? Maybe one day we have to do another rescue show because we've done an ad hoc rescue show before. That one's money. Because maybe we had a pet show, just saying.
Yeah, and let Tim run that one because I tell you what, Tim has done his share when it comes down to taking care of the animals, and he has my undying admiration because that takes a lot of heart and it takes a lot of time.
My favorite with Tim is when that damn goat was causing him to butt dial me because the goat was kicking his ass.
Yeah,
true story. That's a true story. There were like 3 calls in a row, and it was the latest. I was like, I was driving, and I got my daughter answering the phone saying, tell him, not right now, I'm driving. and it was him getting beat by the damn goat. She's the one that picked up on it. She was like, listen to this.
I don't even remember what we were doing. I don't know if he got out and I was trying to get him back in or if I was trying to hurt him for something. It might have been when I was taking his horn off. I don't know. But I remember the occasion. What a day.
Yeah, well, I remember where he shoved that horn.
Yeah. Yeah.
Rescue foreplay. So, Tim, since we got you on the line, man, what kind of closing remarks do you have this season?
Well, I was going to keep it on a rather bitter note, and I was a little ticked off. You know, as a kid, one thing that really got me, they didn't have STEM back when I was a kid. I mean, they had different topics and stuff, and you had science and all that good stuff, but they never had the STEM. What they did have was electronic classes, and I fell in love with that stuff, went to school for robotics and all that. My point is they had a little place that was very convenient for those of us nerds that like to build our own circuits and do kind of hands-on stuff. It's called Radio Shack. Well, they don't have those anymore, or at least not around me. And, you know, I was trying to build a little circuit for a project I'm working on. And I have not found a place yet that has those small electronics components like semiconductors, resistors, capacitors, battery compartments. Radio Shack was like the most awesome place for that kind of stuff. They had everything you could ask for. You know, I built so many electronics kits from there, and when I took classes, that's where I got all my supplies from. So anyway, I'm ticked off. Anybody out there, or anybody on the call here knows what in the world has replaced. Actually, and you know, there was a place called Fry's, but they shut down. I don't know if there's anything left out there or not, but I just don't understand why they've taken away the focus. You know, I saw something on the news once where they're preaching the whole, well, I wish we could get more females involved in STEM, and you know, and it's like, well, you expect to do this with certain curriculum and all that, but then again, you know, they're taking all this crap away because of the shove toward, you know, like phones and whatnot. So my kids now want to stare at a, you know, and watch YouTube videos and play on a phone, and they're not getting hands-on stuff like that. It's like, bring that shit back. That's what got me hooked into school, you know? I mean, it was all technology-based. I wanted to know how crap worked. I wanted to build stuff. And it's just kind of disappointing, but I don't mean to be such a negative Nancy, but that's my guess.
Sadly, you're going to get most of it by a straight-up circuit board now.
Well, yeah. Radio Shack shot itself in the foot because they were one of the first ones to eliminate payroll and eliminate pay. They were the ones that were trying to run off the skeleton crews and not pay anybody, and they lost the people that knew what they were doing and replaced them with a bunch of people who didn't. And for the Tims of the world that would go in there for exactly what he just described, it was no longer available. And, you know, and if I go in there for a certain gadget, I already have a phone. I don't need to know about your special deals because of the same shit going on at Target and at Sam's and at Walmart and everywhere else.
You're absolutely right.
I'm in there for a certain gadget, and I know only Radio Shack. And to be honest with you, True Value Hardware did the same thing. You know, all those things you can't find at Lowe's or Home Depot, you used to be able to find. Or if you were having a certain problem, there was always a guy in a True Value or a Pals, there used to be the Pals, that you could walk in there and go, man, you know what? I've tried to work on this sink 100 times, and I can't get it to quit doing X. And there was always a guy in the building that said, hey, come here, follow me. And he'd hand you some 93-cent O-ring, and it would fix the problem. Now, you've got some stuttering bastard in there right now that's making minimum wage or a little more, and he's just trying to get through his five-hour shift. So,
You ever notice how put out those people look at Menards? You're at Menards walking around, and all you want to know is where the damn screws are, and it's like you can't find a single soul in there, and finally you locate somebody about six rows away from you, and you speed up real quick to get to them. You get their attention, they look at you perturbed like you just crapped in a paper bag, lit it on fire, and threw it on the doorstep, and it's like, come on, man, just help me out here. Nap time, you don't even get the right answer.
No, you're absolutely right. You are absolutely right. Which, hell, before it's all over with, Tim, I think you might have touched on another show topic. Because Christ knows we can go on and on with that easily. A lot of stuff falling away.
Yeah.
So I will put that in the old, as Todd calls it, the what do you call it, the mental, the brain housing group.
Brain housing group.
Very good, outstanding. But yeah, Tim, we appreciate you joining us this evening and everything. Appreciate the input. Well done tonight. Good show. So, Ty,
you bet.
What kind of closing remarks do you have, young man?
All right, yeah, I'll finish with my usual, but I'm going to start with, I want to give some love to Bill Blair. I know at least three of us on the show are very familiar with him. He holds the Guinness record for being on film in the most different makeup things. He does great makeup demos at every con he does. I was a nobody. I still think I am, really, frankly. First time I met him was just a guy, and went in there, and it's just told him thank you for the stuff that he's doing. It was so cool that he did this kind of demo and spent the time, and he took a few minutes talking to me, and talked about some of the neat stuff he does, and the guy that worked with him doing the makeup and stuff they do. It's watching makeup dry is like watching paint dry when they do the demos, but they do the best they can to get through them and get them quick and keep them entertaining. But this cat, back in the day, when he kind of turned 16, I was like, hey, could I talk you into hit my daughter up at such and such for her 16th birthday? And he did it. No questions asked. He just did it. So there was no questions asked this year. And sure enough, there was a birthday wish from Yuki just because the way he tracked some of the people that track him. So, Bill Blair, you darn sure did not have to do that, brother. But that was way cool. We love you much. You've always been such a kind, decent soul. We really, you're real people. So I want to make sure you get some serious love. Other than that, look, people, take care of yourselves. Take care of your family. Take care of one another. Be smart. Stay safe. Catch you on the flip side. Tom and Dave, it's you.
Outstanding. Hey, just a footnote, a quick Bill Blair story to back you up. Todd, he actually, I posted, for Dad's Day, I always post my favorite picture of my dad, his Sergeant Major picture. And he actually sent my dad a friend request and on Facebook. And my dad accepted. And he thanked my dad for his service and all this kind of stuff. And still to this day, he keeps up my dad when he can, whenever something's going down. And still always quick to say hello, quick to thank my dad for his service and everything else. And these two guys have never shaken hands. That's the kind of guy Bill Blair is.
Yep, that's Bill Blair. That's Bill Blair.
Good call.
Yep.
Good
Absolutely.
Call. So before we let go tonight, back in 1995, as you all know, I'm a big baseball guy. I love some baseball and hockey. And
we know you're all about the balls.
Yes, especially the soft ones like Tom Brady. But my favorite baseball team, which I will not mention because I don't want to jinx them, in 1995, they were going into the World Series. I had a big party at the house, and a young lady showed up from work named Dale, who came to the World Series party, and we knew each other from work very well and were good friends at work, but that was all we knew of one another. And she showed up to this World Series party, and we broke the ice. And 26 years later, we're still here together. And that team in the top of the eighth is currently beating the Dodgers 5-2. And though they went, let one slip away from them in the bottom of the eighth last night, I am hoping beyond hope that they seal this one up tonight so they can go up 3-1. But I don't want to jinx these guys. But to help me God, if I could get another World Series out of these guys before I die, I will be a happy man. So I will just say,
well,
my favorite team.
Well, that was a great request.
Yes, without mentioning the team. And I will just say,
you know what? That's the most articulate thing you said all night.
I think it was pretty damn intelligent and genuine myself. So hopefully they will make their way to the big dance. And 26 years later, my lovely, beautiful wife and I can continue on what we started back in 95. So with all that being said.
Hey, Dale, we love you and all our sympathy.
She's got it made. Come on now. For real. Who wouldn't want to be with me outside of like 99% of the populace, for Christ's sake? I mean, for real. So with all that being said, I am going to ease my way back in that Will Manor, cue in that old salty British chick, and end tonight's show. Hey, guys, I really appreciate everybody's. Tonight was a great show, despite being kind of a serious matter. I think we really had a hell of a good show tonight. So
we did. We just, I think our cool way of just, I think we got a neat means. This is a deal. We actually talk about stuff with each other. Nobody, it's not agenda driven. How cool is that? People actually talking to each other. Imagine that.
Yeah, everything fell into place and we didn't get off the rails. I think this is the first show that we did not leave the topic in the longest time. So, I mean,
We did. Well, we got a little sidetracked, but it wasn't a deep rabbit hole. So, yeah, we stayed close. That's scary.
Oh, no.
What the hell just happened?
Yeah. It's amazing what happens when you tie a tether to your leg, right? So, with all that being said, we appreciate everybody's input. And everybody join us this evening here on Pop Culture Stars. And, by the way, when I went to go create tonight's show, I accidentally added an extra O, and I caught it before I went ahead and saved it. And otherwise, we'd have been Poop Culture Stars. So keep that in mind. But we appreciate everybody.
Well, we're full of it. It might fit in the future for future permutations.
And it wasn't
Poop Culture Stars.
And I've got Go Crash and Dog Mika here wanting to say goodnight. Say goodnight, Mika. Outstanding. All right. Well, we appreciate everybody joining us this evening. And thank you guys for joining us here.
Pop Culture Stars, just for clarification.
Pop culture, not food culture. Talk to you guys soon. Thanks again, gang. Have a good night.
Good night, everybody.
Big hugs, team. Thanks.
Good night, all.
British. Where's